Isaiah chapter 6. I'm going to start on verse 8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go and tell these people, Hear you indeed, but understand not, and see you indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of these people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, Until the city be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without men, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsakening in the midst of the land. But yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and shall be eaten as a teal tree, and as an oak whose substance is in them. When they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be in the substance thereof. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for your precious word that was delivered so long ago, and yet it's so close to us. It's so evident that it's also for us. We pray, dear Lord, that you speak to our hearts, that our hearts would understand, that we would see and perceive. Lord, that if there's anyone here that is not saved, that they would understand, that they would call upon thee and be saved. We pray, dear Lord, that now that you would just give me the ability to speak thy word. I pray, dear Lord, that above all, that you receive all the honor and glory as only thou art worthy. And we ask it in the precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Normally I've been giving a review every time I come and teach. But today I'm not going to give a review, but simply some words on what I said 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, I was under a verse that said that calling evil good and good evil was what was being spoken about, and it's also something that this whole world does it. It has always done it. It did it at that time, and it also happens today. And I chose a topic. I could have chosen several. I could have gone through abortion. I could have gone through same-sex marriage, and there's so many things that people call good and it's bad. But instead, I decided to go through the theme of homosexuality, and I made the statement that I wanted you to know and to be armed with the Word of God to be able to answer everybody when they ask you, what does God have to say about homosexuality? Instead of just going to the book of Romans, I gave you some other verses so that you would understand some things. And there were so many other things that I said about homosexuality. But last Sunday night, a good brother stood up and brought a very good message. And he rebuked me because I forgot one very important thing. I forgot to say that we should also witness to homosexuals. Amen. And it's my fault. Sometimes I forget things. You got so many things in your mind. But it was a very good message that was said by my brother. And it was a rebuke to me. And I just want to let you know that we should witness to everybody. Nobody is so bad that we should exclude, or that we should feel that, they're too bad, I'm not going to witness to them. It don't matter what kind of lifestyle they live. We're supposed to go and preach the gospel. Our concern should be the saving of lost souls. So it doesn't matter where they've been. It's not up to us to be judging what kind of lifestyle they're living. You were also living real bad when you got saved. I was living very bad. So we have to keep that in mind. And I have witnessed to so many people. I've witnessed to homosexuals. It doesn't matter one bit to me. But I just didn't say it. But I just don't want you to misunderstand. Or sometimes I get a little bit crude and a little bit rude. That's just, preachers. But we need to understand that our job is to preach the gospel so that others can be saved. I remember one time I was going door knocking, and I could see real quickly that the guy that I was talking to was homosexual. His friends were coming in, and it don't take you too long to understand these things. I stood there for 40 minutes witnessing to this man. Most of the time they run me up real quickly, but this particular time I stayed there for 40 minutes and preach. I wanted him to get saved. I wanted the other ones to get saved that were behind also listening. And sometimes even prostitutes. That's what the Lord Jesus says in Matthew 21. He says the publicans and the harlots enter into the kingdom first before you do. Talking to the religious people. These people understand that they're lost. I remember a long time ago, I hadn't been saved that long, and I was working at nighttime, coming in at 11 o'clock at night, and I was working in the deep west side. Many times I would leave the police station, and it was about 11 o'clock at night, and I would go through Highway 90 so I could get to the deep west side quickly. Sometimes I would just go down Guadalupe Street just to go take in the sights. Guadalupe Street, by the way, is a very, it's a lot of crime. Very infested with dope heads and prostitutes. And I remember that particular night I was traveling down Guadalupe Street and I saw a prostitute walking and the Lord just impressed on me, go witness to her. So I went around the block and I met her and she was about to cross the street. I was right there. I lowered my window and I wasn't too polite. I wasn't too interested in not offending people. The first thing that I said, have you ever heard about hell? And she said, yeah. I said, well, that's where you're going if you don't repent. Now, I don't recommend you say that to people. But this is what I felt that I should say to her. The first thing she did, she began to cry. And she asked me, do you know Freddy Garcia? Maybe some of you know him. He's the one that has the Victory Outreach or Victory Temple. He specializes on people that are deep into crime, in dope and prostitutes and what have you. He goes after them. And she said, do you know Freddy Garcia? I said, yeah, I've heard of him. He said, well, he used to be my partner. We used to go and we used to push dope. We used to shoot heroin together. We would go and burglarize homes. We were partners. And he just talked to me this morning and he told me the same thing. He said, you're going to go to hell if you don't repent. So when I told her, have you heard of hell? She said, yes, I have. And she began to cry. She said, immediately, I feel that the Lord is calling me. And I began to witness to her. The next thing I know, she says, please give me a ride home. I want to get out of the streets. She didn't live too far, so I said, well, jump in the car. Now, that's enough to get me suspended if I had gotten caught. But I said, well, I'll take her. And I took her home, and I witnessed to her on the way home. And the whole trip, she cried, and she cried, calling on the Lord. And I went and dropped her at her house. 2 months later, I told my wife, let's go visit this lady just to see if she's saved. Just to see if she really got changed. And I went, I took my wife and I knocked on the door and I identified myself. I told him who I was. I said, I have my wife with me and I'm looking for so-and-so. I gave her a ride some time ago and I came to see how she was doing. And the lady said, well, I'm her mama and she don't live here no more, but she got married. She's living very happy right now. And I was so thrilled. You know, what kind of life they live or what people do should not be our concern. Our concern should be God's concern. His concern was the salvation of souls. Amen. And that's what we should be occupied with throughout the scriptures. Everywhere you read, God is concerned about people's souls. Just about every story you read in the New Testament, he's concerned and he tells you many times, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. I came to save the world. That's what Jesus says. So that should be our concern. Now, just the other day, I work in an area where it's also kind of rough. And I was coming back to the office, coming down Hamilton Street. And a prostitute, there's a lot of prostitutes on Hamilton Street, by the way. Not that you should know this, but I was driving down the street and this lady decides to get in front of me. And of course, I don't think the way I used to think, except in a police car, I could talk to anybody and witness to them. Nobody knows what I'm doing. But in my own car, it's different. You understand? I don't go around just to go and talk to a prostitute because he doesn't look good. If people see me, they're going to say, I know what Trini's doing. It's the appearance of evil. So you see, I don't do what I used to do. But this lady, she decided to stop me and stop right in the middle of the street. And the next thing I do, I lower my window and I began to tell her, get away, move. I was yelling. I was mad. And she wouldn't move. I guess she wanted to do a trick. Maybe she was she needed money and wanted to find a customer. But she picked on the wrong guy. And the next thing I'm thinking is I'm going to run over this lady. And I took off real fast and I stopped right before I hit her. And I'm still yelling, move. The next thing I was going to do, and don't try this at home, but the next thing I was going to do, I was going to gently tap her and knock her down. I was so mad. But let me tell you something. If I had, that wouldn't have been just a gentle tap. Nobody would have looked at it as, well, he just gently pushed her. That would have been aggravated assault with a motor vehicle. That would have been a felony offense. They would have come and arrested me, and the next thing you would have seen, it would have been a headline that says, angry pastor knocks down innocent prostitute that's trying to make a living. That's how he would have read. So I just want to let you know that be careful. And at the same time, stay away from things like this because it's the appearance of evil. So we should be wise as serpents, the Bible tells us. You know, serpents are very wise. Every time they see me, they run. They know it's trouble. They know it's death. Every time they don't come to me and try to challenge me. Everyone that I've seen, I chase them down and I kill them. The other day, now, Randy's a little bit different. He brought me the other day a copperhead. He said, look, brother, what I got. It wasn't dead yet. He says, I think I knocked her on the head, and I think she said, and then he tried to grab her, and it went for his hand. I said, Randy, kill the thing. That's the only good snake, the ones that are dead. But nevertheless, God calls them wise because they run when they see you. Maybe from Randy they don't, you know, they're, oh, it's just Randy. But from me, they run from me because they know it's death. And that's the way we should approach things, beloved. When you see, don't do what I did. I'm just telling you what I've done in the past. And this particular lady turned to the Lord. And that's what the Bible tells us. In Matthew 21, it tells you very plainly, the publicans and the harlots go in first. You know why? Because they realize we're bad. We're wrong. We have done bad. And you don't really have to say too much. They understand. They know that they need a Savior. They know they need to get away from this, and they don't have the power. That power of darkness has a hold on them, and that's why we should preach the gospel. It don't matter who it is. It don't matter what they've done. That shouldn't be our concern, especially when you go door to door. You don't know who you're talking to, but preach the gospel. That's what we should do. Our concern should be the salvation of souls. Let me get now here to the teaching. On verse 8, he says, and I also heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Whom shall I send, says God. You know, that's an interesting question. It's interesting because it is God who's saying it. The God who made heaven and earth. The God who can just speak everything into existence, he's saying, whom shall I send? Wouldn't you think that he can just send whoever he wants to? Nevertheless, he's asking a question. Now, he has commanded us to go. His desire is for you to go. He urges you to go, but he looks for volunteers. He says, whom shall I send? You know, Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 23, he says, I have not sent these people, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. What's he talking about? Well, you know, the first thing you see here is that that seraphim gets a coal, comes in and puts it in the mouth of Isaiah, and he says that your iniquities have now been taken off. You've been cleansed. You know what this implies? It implies that God is looking for volunteers, but he's looking for somebody that is saved, somebody that his sins have been forgiven. He's not looking for just anybody in the world to go. That's why Jeremiah says, he says, I didn't send them, but they left, they ran. I didn't talk to them, but they prophesied. God is looking for volunteers of those that he has saved, those that have been cleansed. Your iniquity has been purged. You have been saved. Your sins have been forgiven. And that's who God is looking for. He's looking for Christians that are saved to go and preach the gospel. But he also says, who will go for us? You know, to me that implies action. Who will go for us? And you know, as I looked through the scriptures, over and over I saw the same response when Isaiah said, here I am. You know, that's very good learning. He had good manners. This is how you should speak to the Lord. This is how you should respond. This is how Abraham responded in Genesis 22. He said, when God called him, he says, here am I. Jacob also replied in Genesis 31:11. He says, here am I. Moses also replied in Exodus 3, chapter 4, verse 4. He says, here am I. Samuel replied three times, here am I, in 1 Samuel 3. And the apostle Paul replied, Lord, what shall you have me to do? You know, this is good manners. This is how children even ought to speak. We are to train our kids to speak properly, to be able to have, to be courteous. You know, we spend time trying to train our animals. I spend time working with my horse, trying to tell him show him how to stop, how to turn to the left, to the right, how to back up, how to take off. You spend time with your dogs, trying to teach him how to sit. And yet so many people don't spend time with their kids. They don't teach them the right manners. They don't teach them how to correctly answer their parents, how to answer their grandparents. Every time my kids would say, yeah, we'd jump on them real quickly. No, it's not yeah, yes, sir, or yes, ma'am. Even my grandkids, sometimes they say, yeah. No, it's not yeah. It's yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Can I help you? You know, when I was growing up, of course, that was a long time ago when I was a young kid. But I grew up and I was brought up by my grandmother and my great-grandmother. My great-grandmother died at the age of 100. And I remember many times I would come and she'd call me to bring her water. And I'd come over and I would just sit there while she would drink her water. And she said, no, you don't stand like that. Open up your legs a little bit and put your hands behind your back like that and just stand right there while I drink water. That's what she taught me. And that's what I would do as a young child. But it's good to train the kids. That's what the Bible says. Train the kids the way they should go. So what we see here is we have Isaiah saying the same thing. Here am I. Send me. It's just being polite. It's just saying the right things. It is also implying I'm ready. I'm at your service. Send me. You know, Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, even so send I you. You have gotten that command. God has given you that command. He's given you that urging. He's given you the urgency of the command. He's told you to go. But so many Christians, somehow they feel, no, it's really not me. But as I have been sent, so send I you. That's what Jesus says in John chapter 20. We are to take it to heart. We are to realize that this also means service. This also implies doing something, not just hearing, but also being a doer. Notice also what it says, who shall go for us? Whom, he says, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send and who will go for us? Notice the who will go for us. I remember a long time ago, I read it in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. It says, let us make man in our image. And I said, man, this is amazing. God is speaking in the plural. He's speaking like it's not only one, even though the Bible tells you it's one God, and it is one God. He will also manifest himself in three persons. We call it the Trinity, or you can call it the Triunity. Nevertheless, we see it, and it's a mystery. I don't understand it, but I believe it. And God says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, let us make man in our image. He said it also again after Adam had sinned. He says, man is now become as one of us. Just Genesis chapter 3, verse 28. And again, he says it in Genesis 11, 7. He says, let us go down and confound their language. That's when they were building that Tower of Babel. He says, let us go down. And then we have here in Isaiah for the fourth time, he says, who shall go for us? But you know, my friend, even if it were just one time, that would be sufficient. Nevertheless, it's being said four times. There are three that bear witness in heaven. And we have to understand this. Of course, when you show that to a Jehovah Witness, don't ever show them out of their own Bible because it's not there. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, it's not there. There are three that bear record in heaven. Go to your Bible. Now, many times I show them things out of their own Bible, but there's some things that they have changed and taken off. So the things that they have taken off, I use mine. The thing is that their Bible is perverted. Their Bible has been changed. And we need to know what to say. Let's read now verse 9. And he said, go and tell these people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. May the heart of these people fat and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. You know, this is quoted several times in the New Testament, so I'd like to take you now to the book of Matthew, chapter 13, for the first time we see it. Matthew 13, 13. Turn to that page. Jesus says here, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. First of all, I want you to understand it's a prophecy. When Isaiah spoke it, it was a prophecy. And when it was fulfilled, it was in the times of Jesus. Now, during the times of Jesus, when he said it, these people would not understand, and they would hear and not understand, and they would see and not perceive. But verse 15 gives you the explanation. He says, for these people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed. First of all, these people's heart is waxed gross. I was looking up the definition of waxed, and it means to grow, or it's growing. And I looked up the word gross. By the way, if anybody tells you that is real gross what you're doing, you need to stop. But it says gross means thick, it means fat, it means very bad. So their ears were growing big, they were growing wax, they were being very bad, they couldn't hear, they couldn't understand. Their ears are dull of hearing. That's what he says on verse 15. For these people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. You know anybody that's like that, that's dull of hearing? You know, sometimes I see this in lost people, but I also see it in Christians. And it's just a shame. Sometimes people come here and I know that they've been invited and they're lost, but I see them wandering around and paying all kinds of, looking at all the walls or closing their eyes, and sometimes I wonder where can they hear what I'm saying? Many times they've already heard it. How many times had you heard it before you finally acted? You know, many times we, even Christians are getting to sin and they're being told and told and being, but they don't pay attention. These people's heart is wax, is dull of hearing. But you know, the Bible also tells me, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck. Over and over, sometimes people are being told. Even in this church. Many times I know that the preaching that's going out is going out because somebody is in some type of sin. And it still doesn't go through. They're being reproved. But yet they're not listening to God's word. They listen to it, but it just ricochets. It's going in one ear and out the other. They're hardening their heart. They're being reproved over and over. Now, I can say this about lost people, but it's a shame that even Christians, we don't pay attention to God's word. And he says, he that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck. But notice also, he says, and their eyes have they closed. This is the interpretation. Their eyes have they closed. Now, I know what the scripture says. He says, make their ears heavy. Make their eyes where they can't see. And it seems like it's saying that Isaiah has the ability to make them just stop. And they can't understand nothing. But that's not what the Bible says. It says they close their ears. That's what it says here. And their eyes, they have closed. They don't want to hear. They don't want to understand. They want to continue in their sin. They don't want to be pricked. So they don't listen to what God has to say. Because look at the next thing, what it says. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and should be healed. You know, this is what I say is up to you. This is it, what it's showing me is responsibility. The responsibility is on man. Lest you can close your eyes and not perceive, and you can close your ears and not understand with your heart. But the Bible says, unless, lest, at any time. In other words, God always has his hand extended. And if at any time you say enough is enough, that's what I said when I was 36 years old and I got saved. I said, enough is enough. People think that I'm a good guy, but I know I'm not. And he convicted me of my sins. They were giving me gospel tracts. I was reading them. I began to check them with my Bible. And finally, the Lord opened up my eyes and my ears. And I got convicted. I said, I know I need to get saved. And that's exactly what happens. Lest you understand with your heart and perceive, then you'll get saved. And this can happen at any time. And be converted. Be converted is the same thing as just because you believe. That doesn't mean all of a sudden now you're saved. You got to take some action. He says, and be converted. Meaning you need to repent. You need to realize that you are a sinner. You're on the way to hell and you need to change your life. You need to give your life to the Lord. You need to tell Him, Lord, forgive me, a sinner. Admit that you're a sinner. Put your faith and trust in Jesus. And when you do that, you've been converted. The Bible says, and I should heal them. The Lord will save you. It don't matter who you are. It don't matter your background. It doesn't matter your sin. God says He'll heal you, and He tells you over and over. But you know, it's amazing how immediately after that, God speaks about the four different types of grounds. The four different types of soils that people have. They hear the word, and it affects people differently. The first one, the Bible says, this guy received it, but he didn't understand. And when you don't understand, you know what happens? The devil comes in and takes it away. You didn't understand because you didn't want to understand with your heart. You were trying to understand with your mind. And you realize you're a sinner, but it doesn't hit your heart you don't feel you need a Savior. Not until you realize you're sick. You're sick with sin and you need somebody to save you. Somebody that can heal you. The only one that can heal you is the Lord Jesus. But that's why right after this, you notice that the Lord is giving that parable. It's the parable of the four different soils. And what he chose is this is the soils. These are the different types of hearts that people have, that mankind has. And on some of them, they don't understand. It's because they have not want to understand. They don't want to hear. And then the devil comes in and takes away. And then the other one also doesn't get saved. And then the third one, he gets saved, but he's choked by the things of this world. Finally, the fourth one, he's the one that brings fruit. But the thing is, there's no other in between. God only gave four, so I believe there's only four different kinds of people. Four different types of grounds, four different types of soils. And he said it right after he had said, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart. It's a matter of the heart, not so much of the mind. It's a matter of the heart. Their eyes have they closed. That's what the Bible says. In other words, they chose to close their eyes. But go now to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Look at verse 37. He said, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. You know, this is when I read this, let me just tell you, first of all, this reminded me immediately of Israel when they came out of Egypt. All the miracles that God did. I was very amazed the first time that I read it because I saw all the miracles of God. And then they come all the way down to the Red Sea. And here's that pillar of fire keeping Pharaoh and his army from killing all the Israelites. They see all these tremendous miracles. And then they see the miracle of the sea opening up and they walk through it. And the next thing you know, and complaining all the time not believing. And then they get across and then they see that all the army of Pharaoh dies in that sea. And they sing a victory song. Who is like our God? There is none like our God. And then the next problem that they have, they're complaining again. Oh man, we should have stayed in Egypt. We had the garlics, we had the licks, we had all the chili and everything else. And what do we have? They brought us here just to die in the wilderness, to starve us, not to receive water the way we had water. We had everything. It's amazing. I thought it was just amazing. All these miracles. Well, man hasn't changed. Jesus came performing many miracles also. And he says here, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. That's just amazing to me. But look what he says on verse 38. That the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? That's in Isaiah 53. It's amazing how, who has believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? And you know, I wonder, it's amazing to me how God performs miracles and the people of God don't believe. We see the scriptures. We see how tremendous they are. And we see the commands and we see this is God's word. We can look at the whole, everything from beginning to end. And so many people still have doubts. They're not too sure whether really God means what he says. And yet, the devil does any little thing and the world believes immediately. Just the other day, they showed in the news where there was water coming out of this tree. And every day they would go in and show it, and they would listen to the people, and there were some bowing down to the tree. Some were saying, oh yes, and they would get water from the tree. They would drink water from the tree. They would put water all over in their face. And some lady was saying, yeah, I felt the Spirit of God. Yeah, I have been cleansed. And everybody, and then finally, Channel 12 decided to check the water, and they said, don't drink the water. The roots have tapped onto the sewer system. But yet, everybody was believing. It's amazing how they believe. A long time ago, when I had just gotten saved, I remember it came out on the news that somebody out in the south side where I live, he said they had seen the Virgin Mary on a bumper. And you could only see it at night, so we drove by there, and you could barely go through there. People parked everywhere. They were all bowing down to that car. They were all bowing down to that bumper. And as soon as they turned off the light, it wasn't there. It was the reflection. But people were out there believing on that stupid bumper. Not too long ago, I had also heard, maybe you heard also, somebody said that the Virgin Mary had appeared in a tortilla. I said, man, oh man. I can take care of that real quickly. I can just put some beans and cheese and I'll take care of it real quick. But you know, this is how people, it's amazing how they get fooled and they believe these things. Just the other day, a couple of days ago, some lady had her back x-rayed. Maybe some of you who watch the news like me saw it. And in the x-ray, it shows like the crucifixion. Like Jesus is crucified. They're already telling, oh wow. Pretty soon people are going to be bowing down to her back. They want her to sell her pictures. I said, man, but then here comes God and He does all kinds of miracles and people don't believe. And He opens up the sea where they can walk through it and they still don't believe. It's amazing. He said, though He had done so many miracles before them, yet they believe not on Him. But who has believed our report? That's what the apostle, or rather what is being said here. And to whom is the arm of the Lord has been revealed? Who has believed that report? You know, the thing is, the report's gone out. To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? I think it's gone out throughout the whole world. That's what the Bible says. The gospel went throughout the whole world. But not many have believed. And the reason being is because the apostle Paul also gets into this and he makes a comment. And I'll just tell you, we won't go to it, but in Romans chapter 10, verse 16, he said, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed that report? I want you to understand something that Paul is doing here. He's changing obedience. He's changing obey from belief. Because believing is the same thing as obedience. The Bible says that if you believe, you can get saved. But it also says that they purified their hearts in believing the gospel. That's what Peter says. So we know that it's in obeying the gospel, rather. Peter says they purified their hearts in obeying the gospel. So we see the apostle Paul says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Israel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? Even though we're having a change of words here between obedience and belief is the same thing. Who has believed our report? In other words, who has obeyed our report? Well, the thing is, look at verse 30. Or 39 rather. Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah says again. Now this might seem hard, but I'll explain it. Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again. He has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes nor understand with their heart and be converted, and I should heal them. I want you to notice something. He says here, they could not believe because what Isaiah had said. But it also says, if they had understood with their heart, they could have been converted. Because then look at verse 42. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed. So you see, it's not so much that what Isaiah is saying, that make their eyes heavy, to make their ears gross, that God doesn't want them to get saved. He wants to condemn them. It's their heart. The responsibility is still on you. And that's why over and over he says, whosoever will. Lest at any time. That's what he says in John. He says, that's why he says in Matthew, same as Isaiah, lest at any time. That's individual responsibility. Lest at any time they should believe with their heart. Romans chapter 10 verse 16, Paul confirms what he says in John chapter 12. In John chapter 12 he says, many believed. And Paul says, not all have obeyed. In other words, you could have said, many believed is the same thing that not all have obeyed. Or not all have obeyed is the same thing that many believed. It implies individual responsibility. It implies that it's up to them. They need to understand with their heart. They need to be converted, and God should heal them. It's just like in the book of Exodus, when you read about Pharaoh, that God hardened his heart. Well, you find that God hardened his heart. You also find that Pharaoh hardened his heart 5 times. That's what I counted last night. I've done it many times. But I also find that God, when he was talking to Moses right there at that burning bush, he says, and I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go. So what I see here, that was the disposition of Pharaoh. He wasn't going to let him go. No, not but by a mighty hand. Now, many times we see, well, God hardened his heart. But we also see that Pharaoh also hardened his heart. We see also here that these people's ears were made heavy, but they also didn't want to hear. The responsibility is still yours. Lest at any time, let's not get confused, lest at any time, many still believed, he says in John. And Paul says, not all have obeyed. Not all have obeyed means that they disobeyed. Meaning, they didn't care for it. Unless you believe with your heart. Let's go back to the text. Back to Isaiah. Then said I, on verse 11, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, the houses without men, and the land be utterly desolate. You know, well, let me read verse 13. And the Lord have removed men far away, and there is a great forsakening in the midst of the land. You know, if you look through history, you'll find that many times Israel has been chased out. They have been taken captive. We can go to the Babylonian captivity. You can go to Titus in 70 AD, the Roman emperor. You can go to the Assyrians. You can find them in the scriptures. But every single time, they didn't forsake. They were taken away captive. It wasn't their will to live. But Isaiah, what he's saying here, until the Lord have removed men far away and there be a great forsaking. I want you to know that forsaking is not the same thing as being taken captive. Forsaking means to abandon. Forsaking means to leave behind. Forsaking also has a word in here that's very important. Every word of God is very important. It says great forsaking. When has Israel done a great forsaking? They never have done a great forsaking. But that's exactly what's going to happen. So even though commentators will tell you, well, this is part of what's fulfilled during the Assyrians, this was fulfilled during the Babylonians, this was fulfilled during Titus, I say this is not fulfilled yet. There hasn't been a great forsaking. But Jesus talked about it. He says that in the middle of the tribulation, he says, when you see the abomination of desolation that Daniel spoke about, he says, then head for the mountains. Don't go back to the house. Don't go back to change clothes. In other words, don't go back and get your lunch. Don't go and pick up maybe some blankets just in case it gets cold. He said, just leave. You ain't got time for nothing. That's a great forsaking. That's what Isaiah's talking about. And if he's talking about forsaking, and I believe that's what he's talking about, because many times when a prophet is speaking, even though like right here I just told you, is something that did not get fulfilled till Jesus' time, it jumps through centuries. And I believe this great forsaking that Isaiah's talking about is during the mid-tribulation. That's when Israel will do a great forsaking. That's when, he says, that's when you can stop. How long, Lord? When can I stop preaching to these people? He says, when you see everything desolate, when there's a great desolation, well, it's been many times. But then he gives them another clue when there is that great forsakening. Because at that time, you don't have time to preach no more. That's only for the Jewish people. That's called Jacob's trouble. That's not the church trouble. We have already left. A matter of fact, he says in here, on verse 12, and the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking. I want you to know that the men being moved far away comes first. And I know from the scriptures that it comes before the tribulation begins. The Spirit of God is moved. We're gone. And let me take you real quickly. Go to Psalm 88. He's going to show you something. I've got a few minutes. Psalm 88. Psalm 88 to me is like could very easily, you could put things in here in the front page and it would sound so up to date. Especially if you would put verse 3. For my soul is full of troubles. That could be said of Israel right now. They're full of troubles. Everywhere they look, you got Iran on one side, Syria, you got the Hezbollahs, you got the Philistines. Everywhere you look, they're full of troubles. But it also talks about, verse 10, will thou show wonders to the dead? Shall the dead arise and praise thee? Yeah, that's going to happen. That's during the rapture. Those that are in the grave, on verse 11, shall thy loving kindness be declared in the grave? Yeah, it's going to happen. Those that are in the grave shall come first, the Apostle Paul says. Shall you show wonders? Shall the dead arise? Yeah, they're going to arise. And we which are alive will be caught up with them. But I want you to know something. I want to take you to verse 18. It says, lover and friend hast thou put far from me. I wanted to show you that word, far. Because that's the same word that Isaiah is using. When you have removed men far away. And he's telling you here, lover and friend hast thou put far from me. Who is the lover of Israel? It's the Christians. We are the lover of Israel. The world doesn't love Israel. But we have been commanded to pray for them. To pray for their peace. To pray for their safety. To bless Israel. He that blesses you, I will bless. He that curses you, I will curse. So we know we have to pray for Israel. But there's going to be a time, my friend, when Israel's lover, the Christians, will be far away and the last thing and mine acquaintance into darkness. I hate to think that that's America. But who knows? The main thing is for you not to stay behind. For you, if you're not saved, don't wait. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the time to call upon the Lord and get saved. You want to go on the rapture. You don't want to stay behind, my friend. You don't want to go through Jacob's trouble. That's when Israel is going to shine, but the rest of them, everybody else, going to be bad, bad troubles. So I just pray that even this day you would call upon the Lord and be saved. Praise the Lord.